I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. If you are really enjoying what we do here on the Internet Marketing Podcast, then if you could, please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, of course. That would be fab. It really helps us to grow the podcast and ensure we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today I'm joined by Chris Byrne, freelance SEO, PPC consultant. Chris, how are you doing?
All right, thanks, Andy. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Let's start off, Chris. Tell us about Chris Byrne and what you do.
Well, I'm a freelance SEO consultant based in Surrey. I've been my own boss for 8 years now and just generally enjoying being a free man of the land. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell. Like, I'm advising businesses on online marketing and advertising strategies, businesses of all sizes, internationally as well, from time to time. And yeah, it's the longest job I've ever held down. And that's about it, really, in a nutshell.
And just for our American listeners, because I know we have a lot of American listeners over there, Surrey is a county in the UK. It's not what we say when we're apologising. It's spelled S-U-R-R-E-Y. It's a beautiful county, isn't it?
It certainly is. I'm originally from the other side of the Surrey-Hampshire border, but I moved 3 miles recently, so I'm going up in the world in my old age.
We call it leafy Surrey, don't we?
It's
the bit of land just to the left of London.
And I think the origin of the phrase is that it's the most wooded county in the country, hence the amount of leaves.
Oh, yeah, is that what they call it?
Yeah. Arguably, throughout history, people, rather than chopping down their own trees, have always been wealthy enough to be able to buy their trees from elsewhere to heat their stately homes.
Well, as much as I'd love to talk about Surrey for the entire podcast, because it is a lovely county, let's talk about ad blocking and specifically the state of ad blocking in 2017. So let's do our inevitable first question. Let's have a quick definition of kind of what ad blocking is, just in case anyone doesn't know, which I strongly suspect they do all know, but let's tell them anyway.
So yeah, for the purposes of this discussion, we've been talking about ad blocking on the web, and ad blocking, according to Wikipedia, is a type of software, or less commonly a computer hardware device, that can remove or alter advertising content from a web page, website, or a mobile app.
Now, we are seeing a rise in ad blocking right now.
Yep.
Why is that, Chris?
So, according to the Internet Advertising Bureau, the proportion of British adults online currently using ad blocking software is around 22%, and they say that the research suggests in the UK that it's the demographics of the millennials, young people, and the affluent who are particularly using this type of software. Yeah, I think blocking adverts in general, since the rise of, shall we say, the television and radio, is not necessarily a new thing. I've been reading some of the history of ad blocking in general, and they say that the TV remote control is created in part for the purposes of ad blocking. The radio presets in a car's stereo system, that to avoid people changing the channel to and disturbing their concentration whilst driving. The radio preset was created in part as a response to that, because it was associated with car accidents. And even recently, the invention of the television technology called TiVo, which is the basis for the Virgin Media box in the UK, the idea that you can record a TV show and start watching it 5 minutes later and then fast forward through the ads rather than watch them. So, yeah, I think it's on the web. It's been going on since the early 2000s in various forms. But I think the more sophisticated type of technology where you're able to block all ads from, say, Yahoo.com, served from Yahoo.com, that sort of targeting a host name, basically, it is a relatively recent thing. I think there's a general consensus that a lot of advertising on the web does cause a bad user experience. So it is a UX problem. And often these types of ads are what the advertising industry would call bad ads. That's a wide catch-all term. And for me, personally speaking, the worst ad is the retargeting ad, the ad that will follow you around from year to year. And after you've purchased a particular product, and then you'll see possibly adverts for the same retailer. And it's creepy. It is the online equivalent of someone following you around. It is essentially an entity following you around. So yeah, I think these are some of the main reasons why we're seeing a rise in ad blocking.
So I'm just wondering what the attitude is to ad blockers. I mean, I'm thinking specifically like from the big online players. I mean, ad blockers are now available in the iOS store, aren't they?
Yep, I think that's a fundamental factor in the recent rise of ad blockers. In September 2015, they were allowed on iOS 9, and some of the ones that were launched rose quickly to the top of the iTunes store.
Yeah.
And I think for Apple, that they're quite, shall we say, open to them now, this technology, whereas Google is a little bit ambivalent. Like, they've said in 2016, Google explicitly banned ad blockers from the Play Store, and that's with the major exception of ad blocking web browsers and plugins. I think what they were trying to do there was trying to stop a sort of a system-wide ad blocker, something that would be affecting the functionality of the operating system. So it's a bit ambivalent. Research has suggested that ad blockers are significantly affecting Google's revenues to the tune of many billions of pounds globally. So, but on the other hand, the reason why they possibly haven't blocked ad blockers completely is that Google's ethos is, in terms of their search results, is trying to provide the best experience for the user, you know, the most relevant, authoritative, quality information. So if an ad blocker can, for certain users, enhance the online experience, then I think they've realized that it's something they can't really block unilaterally, completely, I should say. I think in the broader picture, there's the rise of the mobile web, and people are realizing that sometimes they've only got a certain amount of data per month, and it is limited. And some research suggests that up to 5% of a smartphone data plan is ads, so they can stretch their allowance a little bit further by using an ad blocker.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, there's a technical war going on at the moment between the various sort of main players. Tell us a bit about that, Chris.
Many publications online are funded solely by advertising. They don't have a print publication to draw revenue from or any other revenue stream. So online ads are their only revenue source. So, for example, Forbes.com, which is, to the best of my information, still exists as a paper magazine, but it is a major business news website. Mm. They will block you viewing their online content if you use an ad blocker. And there's been a response to that by the, should we say, the technical community.
Yeah. It
is that technology now exists to bypass the ad blocker. So you've got ad block blockers now. So... It is a sort of an arms race there, and we'll have to see how it eventually plays out. And it is a bit of a wild west. I think there's certain gangster cartel protection racket aspects to some of these technologies. One of the founders of Firefox created a browser called Brave recently, which replaces online ads with its own advertising. So it's a bit murky, and, you know, we all need to make our own minds up about the players and their own merits and the like.
So it's kind of like we'll block the ads as long as you don't mind seeing a few of our ads.
Yes.
Yeah.
And AdBlock Plus, which is one of the major AdBlock plugins, they have a whitelist, which means that you can pay, as long as your ads fulfill certain criteria, you can pay to be whitelisted by their service. So it's even the most popular current ad blocking technologies, they've got this protection racket aspect, and you can change the settings of AdBlock Plus, I think, to block near enough everything, but I think by default you will see the whitelisted advertisers. It's quite a complicated and murky business. In my analysis, and I think the way things are moving, as of early 2016, Asus, who are a major computer manufacturer, for those that don't know, all of their web-capable devices will ship with AdBlock Plus. Not only are shipping now, I should say, are shipping now with AdBlock Plus, the browser plugin, not only included with the company's proprietary browser, but switched on by default. Your new Asus mobile device is blocking ads out straight out of the box. As to what level of, should we say, whitelist, what degree of ad blocking that they will be doing by default, I don't know. But it's a selling point. It's a selling point now to have a to sell your devices with an ad blocker built in. It's a unique selling point.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that there seems to be still holes in these types of technologies. I did a test with the AdBlock Plus Easy List filter, which I think is one of the sort of the lowest levels of ad blocking that you can choose within that technology. And it doesn't block Google Shopping results, which are all ads. They used to be non-paid listings, but a few years ago Google switched over to them being all paid listings, and I contacted them and they said, well, why is this the case? They said it's because if we blocked all the ads on that page, it would just be a blank page.
There'd be no page.
Yes, exactly. So it's worth noting that, you know, you've got, if you are a PPC company, you've got to do your testing and do your research, because there are ways around certain filters and certain technologies.
Mm.
This will only apply for people selling products online. So if you're a plumber advertising your service online, this particular loophole won't help you. But as I'm sure you're aware, that there's lots of people out there selling you internet marketing services, but all they'll sell you is Google AdWords. So these people, and yeah, just to reiterate, everyone who's advertising online needs to be testing their ads and their websites with the popular ad blocking technologies. As well as the technical war going on, there's also a legal battleground, you might say, in terms of the technologies and even at the level of mobile phone service providers.
Yeah.
Last year they tested ad blocking at the network level, which is quite a fundamental thing if it was to become widespread.
Yeah, which of course makes sense, because that if you block it at the network level, you're going to save that bandwidth, aren't you?
Exactly. There's gains for a lot of people there, not just possibly the consumer. There's cost savings at the business level as well.
Mm.
But that has been since ruled illegal by the EU. I think that was just like some sort of EU guidance. But as to how Brexit this week, leaving the EU, as to whether the same legal standing would, as to whether the same legal view would occur in a post-Brexit Britain, we have to wait and see. I would suspect that the situation would remain the same.
Now, the IAB, that's the International, sorry, not the International, the Internet Advertising Bureau, has come up with some best practices, haven't they? Tell us about these.
So they've got an acronym called DEAL, D-E-A-L, which is a recommended approach for publishers to connect with ad-blocking consumers. And I think it's pretty reasonable, really. So D stands for detect. So that's detection of ad-blocking in order to initiate a conversation.
Mm.
So that would be, the conversation presumably would be initiated with some sort of pop-up or message to consumers who they can detect using ad blockers. And you use that pop-up to E, explain the value exchange that advertising enables. And A, which again I think is going to be part of that pop-up information, is A stands for ask for change behavior in order to maintain an equitable exchange. And that could, the change behavior could be offering payment for ad-free access, or like The Guardian does on their website, ask people to subscribe or should we say to fund their work. That's not in relation to ad blocking, The Guardian. And L, the final part of the acronym, is to lift restrictions or limit access in response to consumer choice. So it's, I think it opens the door for transparency and a meaningful dialogue with visitors using ad blockers.
So these guidelines then, Chris, are sort of guidelines to the companies putting ads on the internet, aren't they?
Yes.
Sort of best practices, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, from the sort of consumer perspective, you know, the sort of the person doing the browsing, I mean, people, I don't know, they avoid ads. They become blind to ads, you know, especially banner ads.
Yes.
They're sometimes invasive. I mean, what are the sort of solutions that are sort of companies are sort of offering to people to sort of get them away from this nightmare of annoying ads?
So the publisher's level.
Yeah.
I think the idea that people can pay for ad-free access is something which is becoming more and more common.
Yeah.
And there is that. Also, just the unilateral, we will block access to your site if you don't allow us to display the ads. So I think cityam.com, the free financial tabloid, which is distributed in the London area of the UK, that I think that, to the best of my information, they've stuck with that. So I think at the consumer level, it's us acknowledging that we have to pay for the services rendered in some form. So if you visit a newspaper website, well, like cityam.com, for example, other than clicking on their ads, I don't think they have any other income stream because it's a free newspaper. The physical newspaper is free.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, there's no way of subscribing to physical newspapers. It's literally something you would pick up by a railway station in the London and South East area. I think consumers must realise their part in this value exchange, as the Internet Advertising Bureau would say. Like, for example, I try to click on the Outbrain ads on the Guardian site. Have you seen those sort of content marketing ads?
Right, yep.
So they've got a partnership with Google Ads nowadays, so try not to click on the ones which are Google Ads within Outbrain. So I try to every day click on a couple of those ads, and I try to buy the newspaper once or twice a week as well. So yeah, I think we've got to realise the value of journalism in a free society and contribute something towards it in whatever way that is.
It's a tricky one, though, isn't it, Chris? Because we all expect the internet to be a completely free space. And I think it's easy to forget, isn't it, that a lot of people using the internet to give out useful information or up-to-date information are actually businesses, and they need to make money somehow. Do you think that's easy to forget? Do you think we should be more... I'm trying to think of a good word here. Do you think we should be more tolerant of ads?
It's a difficult one. Like, I don't like ads. I don't like sort of the autoplay video ads you seem to find on local news sites. I think there is a mentality from certain publishers, you know, as they are getting sucked into the quicksand of declining revenues, that we'd rather put a really annoying ad and pop-ups on this page and get one penny revenue from that a day, then not have that bad user experience and get 0 pennies revenue from that page a day. So, fundamentally, the internet was designed for sharing information. And I think possibly with the prevalence of online piracy, and which is being facilitated also by companies like Google through their YouTube platform.
Yeah.
I think alongside the pirate mindset, we've got that everything is free on the internet mindset. And to be quite honest with you, I've got a bit of that as well. Yeah. But when it comes particularly down to journalism and a free press, I think we've got to realise the value of those ads which fund that. I'm not here doing a party political podcast for the pirate party. I do think, you know, we've got a lot to lose by not funding quality journalism, and here endeth the lecture.
We talked about quite a few different things in this episode. What would be your one sort of takeaway for our listeners today? I suppose from a perspective of, you know, running a business which relies on the internet to promote itself, what would your one takeaway be? I've got a suspicion I might know what it's going to be, actually, because you've already mentioned it.
I think understanding these technologies and how they work, you know, the different levels of ad blocking that you might be able to switch on and off within an in-browser ad blocker like Adblock Plus, I think that is the first step. And then you've got to test your own sites with the major ad blockers such as Adblock Plus or Ghostery. Like, for example, I've got a client who have their own ads for their clients on their website, and the images for those ads were stored in a folder on their website called ads. And they were also storing other, shall we say, non-advertisement illustrative images in the same folder. So surprisingly enough, I tested it with a couple of ad blockers, and those illustrative images were blocked by the ad blocker, even though they weren't ads. But the artificial intelligence of the ad blocker saw these images in a folder called ads and put two and two together. So, yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell. And just to reiterate, to always be mindful of the value of journalism in a free society, and to try and contribute in some way towards it, whether by clicking on ads on your favourite newspaper website, if you're not going to buy the newspaper on a semi-regular basis. I think, you know, we cannot think of these things from just as a, should we say, a business owner, SEO agency perspective, but we've also got to think of these things as citizens.
Mm. Well, Chris, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, my website is www.seolondonsurrey.co.uk. And if you want to follow my pearls of wisdom on Twitter, it's SEO Tips and Tricks. And that's the letter N rather than the word and. SEO Tips and Tricks.
Tips and Tricks.
That's it. Thanks, Em.
Well, thank you, Chris. And thank you for our audience for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DocTorPod on Twitter and LinkedIn. There is a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn if you want to join in the conversation. If you want to email us or send us some sort of textual message, podcast@sitevisibility.com. You can tweet us @sitevisibility. I think that's everything. That's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Chris.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.